Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 158. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and I'm super excited to share our guest with you today. So today's episode is all about, yes, advice on growing your business, but what our guest, Dallas Travers, shares with us, there's so much gold in this conversation, but what she does is she takes a strategy that we might have or know or may even do sporadically in our business, totally a clueless vocab word there. You might be doing it sporadically, but what Dallas is showing us in our conversation today is to really take those strategies and either make them into or break them down into simple habits, and how when we do that, we're really creating a system that's going to help us fast track our success. This is an evergreen system. I know in our industry, there's a lot of talk about launch versus evergreen versus whatever else you got going on. Maybe if you're a service provider and maybe you probably don't refer to bringing on clients evergreen, but it might feel more sporadic. We're just going to go with sporadic as word of the day today. And with this, it's a way for you to think about what you're doing in your business differently. Now, I've been geeking out on habits for probably the last 18 months. Maybe I'm like, when did I first originally read Atomic Habits? Maybe that was 2 years ago. And so I've read it a few times, and every time I read it, I feel like I implement a little bit more. And now I love that we're airing this episode today because it just feels very timely. I'm also reading Jen Sincero's new book. I think it's called Badass Habits, and it's so good. And I just love having her in my ears. When I say I'm reading it, that always means I am listening to an audiobook. And so habits are on my brain. And as we've been growing our team, like really figuring out how to systematize things where we're doing things in some type of a habit formation makes it a lot easier, where it's like, this is a recurring task that just happens. And that allows me to actually delegate something and not have to worry about it, because I know that that person is going to do it, and they're not going to do it sporadically. They're going to do it at that designated time on a weekly basis, or maybe a monthly basis. This is like, how many times can I throw sporadically? And I'm just going to keep finding fun opportunities. Unfortunately, I am recording this intro after our conversation, so no, you will not hear any fun mentions of sporadically. And once we get into the actual podcast conversation. Okay, I digress. So where were we? Habits. Now, this conversation with Travis is she's going to break down, one, a very simple but brilliant and effective strategy. Ironically, it's something that I'm starting to do more of in my business. So it just kind of worked out that she was highlighting this today. And really, like, most people could probably just take this strategy she's going to give and the exact way that she's doing it and implement it in their own business. But also, it's a framework. So yes, this exact strategy is a great tip, but also whatever it is that you're doing or you want to be doing, you can plug into this. It's really a way for you to be growing your business on a regular basis. So without just like teasing you for a million minutes, let's jump into things. Quick shameless plug for my plug and pitch. We're going to I did not plan for the plug and pitch. But if you do not know, I have, and this comes up a little bit in our conversation, is talking about podcast interviews and being a guest on podcasts. Being a guest on a podcast is one of the fastest ways to build authority. And I'm definitely biased, but I also feel like it's one of the most fun. For me, it's the most fun. Like, wait, I just get to talk to people, and that helps grow my audience and my business. Like, yes, please. That is easy and it's fun. And especially without having a lot of peopling time, I value those conversations more and more. So that said, if you're looking to build your audience, if you're looking to build your authority, being a guest on other people's podcasts, whether you have a podcast or not, is one of the best ways to do that. Now, how do you get booked on a podcast? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I have a system, the plug and pitch system, that breaks down for you the strategy, but also we give you the actual cold pitch templates and warm pitch templates. So if you like know someone, maybe they're not your bestie, but it's like a warm lead for a host versus a podcast host who you've never come in contact with before, you want to go about those pitches a little bit differently. And we have those two different types of pitches in four different voice styles, brand voice styles, if you will. So you can go through the strategy. You're going to know what to do. You're going to be able to take those templates and edit them so they don't sound like a template, but so they sound really genuine and really thoughtful, and they really showcase you and your expertise and are designed to get you that yes. And I know because I'm on the receiving end of it. I get pitches every single day. And so believe me, I know how bad most of these pitches are. Even from the pros, can't believe how many people pay, Lord knows how much money, to have other people pitch them, and it just is not good. So this is also a public service announcement. But that said, if growing your audience, building your authority is on your goals list for 2021, then you definitely want to get this plug and pitch system. It is $27. And if you're listening in February or very early March of 2021, we are going to run it live for the first and probably only time. So this is a digital product. You buy it, you have access to it immediately. But in early March, we're going to do like almost like a challenge format where we'll take you through it and answer questions and like help brainstorm pitch angles and all that stuff. We're going to do it like a live challenge for everyone who has bought it. So if you already bought the plug and pitch system, surprise, you're going to get access. And if you buy it now, you get access to this live version of the program for free. I don't know if and when we will ever run it live again. It's designed to just be an evergreen digital product, but this is a fun chance to visit a live experience as well. All right, go to plugnpitch.com. So plug the letter N, pitch.com, and you can go grab that for $27. You get instant access, and then we'll give you all the details on how to join us live. And all right, let me formally introduce you to Dallas, and then we'll get right to it. Dallas Travers gives coaches the clarity and structure they need to attract incredible clients, sell with soul, and create meaningful programs that make more money and help more people. Dallas believes that most coaches complicate things out of fear of rejection, failure, or even the unknown. Hint, hint, this is probably not just coaches that do this, right? What happens is they waste valuable time and money bouncing from one complex strategy to the next, second guessing themselves at every turn. This allows them to, quote unquote, play busy, but hide from the world. Inside her six-figure coach club, Dallas teaches the ripple effect system to help her clients build sustainable habits designed to propel them well into six figures without any distracting bells or whistles. Dallas's clients have had a lot of firsts: first paying client, first five-figure launch, first five-figure day, first six-figure year, all with confidence and clarity because they finally have a plan that feels good and the tools to implement. All right, well, here is Dallas. Dallas, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
Yes. All right. Well, before we dive into you and all of the amazingness that you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
Bossing people around. Is that what you were looking for?
There's no, it's not a leading question, but that totally counts. Oh my goodness. So who were you bossing around back then?
I just want the picture. Yeah. I was the kid who would be like, all right, everyone, here's what we're going to do today. We are going to make a Play-Doh castle. Follow me. Right. And even with my siblings, okay, today we are doing a Christmas pageant and it'll be the middle of summer. And I was always kind of the one with the big idea who would also just fool people through my charisma, right, into doing what I wanted.
I love it. This is so my daughter. So I love when people say this because I'm like, oh, I like totally see Eleanor as a grown up and taking these skills and using them. And yes, yeah. I was not like that at all as a kid. Oh, people, really? You would think that I I mean, you wouldn't think, but I was not. I was not bossy as a kid, which is, it's just so funny for me to have a daughter who's, you know, she mimics how I am now. She's not how I was as a child, but she'll mimic my personality today, now, which is interesting.
Right. Yeah. And isn't it, I mean, we're going to get totally off topic here, but how interesting that I would label that as bossing, right? Like if I was a boy as a child, I would have had a different word. So I say that almost like mockingly, but I used to struggle with my leadership. Because I
thought people probably called you bossy too when you were, we may have to come back to this then.
Yes,
so, I know.
It's my biggest strength, my leadership, and how interesting what I made that mean, that natural quality growing up. I think that's a different concept.
With my daughter, I'm so careful about it too, because I'm like, strong leadership skills, but also like, you're not the mom. Like, that fine balance. But right. I did ask her second grade teacher if there was a debate team we could sign her up for to start, you know, refining these skill sets. But unfortunately, they don't start that yet. In second grade, no debate team yet. All right. Fast forward to today then. Yeah. Tell us, what do you do and who do you help?
Yeah. So we're going to get very meta, right? I'm a coach who coaches coaches. I want to talk about my business, how I got here, because my original coaching business was serving actors. And I essentially taught actors how to be entrepreneurs so that they could find talent agents or acquire their own work and really be leaders in the entertainment industry. And that business was so successful that coaches started to seek me out to teach them to do what I had done with this very niched audience. And then over time, things as humans, we all grow and evolve. And I realized I could have a bigger impact. I was also tired of the entertainment industry, honestly, but I could have a bigger impact by helping emerging coaches really fast track their progress through simple habits. So that's where the Six Figure Coach Club was born. And, you know, I have a little bit of a prejudice. I think there are a lot of coaches in the world. And I think it's just really important that whoever it is you learn from, that they have experience serving an audience outside of coaches, right? Outside of like the easy sell.
Yes.
Yeah. So
can you speak to that for a second? Because I do think a lot of times, so there might be someone listening who is in your situation, right? Or is afraid to maybe take that leap into saying that they coach coaches because there's people that make jokes about that, right? But also, I think in any industry, sometimes we look at that as a disadvantage if all of our experience isn't in that one area. And so I love how you just said it the opposite way of like, no, because I have this different experience, that is actually what makes me more qualified. That's actually what you should look for in a coach, is someone that has experience outside of that. So would you just reflect, because I want from your own perspective, but also how I'm sure you're coaching your clients too, of that it can be like that. That's actually an advantage.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I had never really thought of it in that way, but back when I served actors, I wasn't an actor. I had no business teaching actors anything. I'd never even been on a television set. I had no clue, air quotes here, but that's what made me good at it, because I didn't know the rules. I didn't know how it was supposed to go. So I just kind of used entrepreneurial skills and common sense to come up with strategies that were quite disruptive and super effective. So I used to hide, like, okay, no one can know how young I am, and no one can know that I have no business teaching actors anything because I don't know how to act. And then I realized, oh, I need to embrace this, because it's the thing that sets me apart. It's also the reason why what I teach works. So I think the same is true with the work I do now. There are a lot of teachers out there who sell programs to coaches, but they don't, what they teach has never been tested on an audience outside of coaches. And coaches, we're an easy target. We love investing in ourselves. We're really committed to growing our businesses. So I think it's often, I think you can get advice that is less applicable to you as a health coach if the person you're learning from has only ever sold to businesses. So I think that for anyone who's wondering if it's okay to shift into mentoring other coaches, that's probably part of your evolution. And you can use your track record in whatever it is you've done up until now as proof of your own expertise instead of trying to hide it.
Oh, I love that so much. And it is the value because there's so much of that. There's a groupthink, is that the terminology of when you're always around people that are like, we're all in the same industry, we're all, learning from the same people and reading the same books and blogs and listening to the same podcasts and like learning from the same coaches, that it's, I think that's where the whole coaches who coach coaches to be coaches thing, where because it's that each level is kind of training the next to go do the same exact thing and coach the same thing, and you're kind of getting this like watered down content, right, that people haven't done themselves, or that, and it's all the same. And so you're so right that and if you find yourself, if someone listening feels like it's hard to stand out or that they're in that cycle, like break the cycle. What other market could your skill set disrupt? Oh, that's such a good angle there. Okay. I love how we just like dove right into this, but I love how you have your own messaging nailed down with that and how clearly it's such a big asset to your clients that you bring this
Thank
unique
you.
experience to the table. Okay. So you mentioned when you were saying what you did, that you help these coaches transform through simple habits. What does that mean? Just tell us a little bit more about what you do. I love to kind of like peel the layer back a little bit. Like, okay, what is it? How do you help these coaches? What does that look like?
So I'm being dramatic here, but there are a lot of, let's just call them get rich quick schemes out there in terms of like how to grow your business and go from zero to seven figures in 90 days. And heck, if you can do that, please go for it. But what I have found, and I have seen the inside of some of these businesses, right? I'm on Instagram and I see a screenshot of your Stripe account and you made 150 grand last month and you spent 120 grand on Facebook ads, but you're not telling anybody that part. So there's a lot of this belief from coaches, especially, but any business owner, we want to be successful. We want to help other people. We also want it to be easy. So we seek an easy or simple solution and ignore habits. So it's like the tortoise and the hare. And I've been in business for a long time and I am a tortoise, and tortoises deserve more credit
They
because
do, they
they
do.
do. Because I have a life and I have a business, and I know and I can count on meeting certain milestones month after month after month, which is not often the case in a lot of other online businesses. So when I say focusing on habits, I joke that like summits are not habits, 5-day challenges are not habits. They're fun. I even do them, right? But before that kind of marketing, we need simple routines in place that bring consistent revenue, consistent subscribers to your list, consistent opportunities. That's the thing that gives you the confidence to take on these bigger projects without feeling desperate and terrified that if these don't work, I'm screwed. So I'm all for habits. Just like make it easy, have things on repeat. That's the thing that's going to help you feel like a business owner. And then you get to be creative, but keep it simple and boring and unsexy first.
It's so true. And you're right. It's not, because it's not sexy. It's not exciting. It's not, right. And it can even feel hard to get motivated for some of those things. But what I have seen so much of, and you said this, I'm just going to reflect it back to you in my own words, is when we have that pressure on us, right? Of the, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay for this? Or what am I going to, how am I going to make money next month, right? When you get in that situation, it's really hard to be in your best energy. It's hard to think clearly. You're like white knuckling your decisions. And that's not the energy that's going to help you grow. So it sounds like what you're saying, getting these habits in place and getting that consistency of everything, but also of revenue, that's going to be that place where then you can take that bigger leap. And because you have that strong foundation, you're setting yourself up to be able to do it, both like time and logistics, but also energetically and mindset wise. We can't just discount that.
100%. I think the wrong question most coaches, most business owners ask themselves is, what more should I do? Right? Or what else can I try? Where can I go deeper? What's already working that you could really lean in on and leverage? So again, it's not sexy, but it sure makes life a lot easier.
It sure does. Okay. So now you have me very intrigued with these habits.
Okay.
Is there a habit that you're like evangelical about? That you're like, everybody should be doing this one habit. Is there, I know there's probably many, but is there one that you're like, start here, or this is the biggest impact one?
Yeah.
Or does it not work like that?
I might have
like
Okay.
I won't limit you, please.
Yeah. So this one isn't a start here, but I think it's a problem a lot of coaches seek to solve, and that's around list building, right? Like, I need a bigger community. I need to build my list. So let me throw a big summit together, or I don't know, this course tells me I can put a bunch of money in Facebook ads and that should work. It's this magic pill thinking. And so we spend 90 days producing a big summit. It takes a lot of effort. And there might be now subscribers on my list, but they're not really qualified. And I don't really know what to do with them once they're here. So instead of sexy summits and 5-day challenges, and I don't think you should be investing in Facebook ads until you've hit 250K at least in your business. There are simpler things that you can do. My favorite list building habit, and we're talking, I don't know, 25 minutes a week, is lead magnet. I know. And that's the end of the episode.
All right. I cut you off though. Okay. So tell us, what is it?
Lead magnet cross promotion. Make a list, right? Let me see if I can even just break this down by day. Every Monday, set your timer for 10 minutes to add as many centers of influence, people who share a community whose expertise support yours rather than resemble yours, right? So there's no conflict there. And start a running list. All right, so that's Monday. We're just adding to the list. Tuesday, you're going to have a template for this once you've done it once. Tuesday, reach out to one person, right? One person a day. Hey, your audience, here's what I love about the work you're doing. Here's what my audience craves that you can provide. Here's what I can share to your audience. Let's set a date to share each other's opt-ins. So once you have this rolling list of people to reach out to, pick one person a day, right? Or one person a week. Here's what I love about the work that you're doing. Here's how my audience can benefit from that work. Here's what I'd like to contribute to your audience. Let's do a lead magnet swap. An example of this effectiveness, I'm thinking of one of our six-figure coach club members. In 60 days, he added 3,600 subscribers to his list, which he'd never launched a course prior to that, which fed right into 120, I think, or no, $102,000 launch. So, we're talking about what? 20, like I said, 20 minutes a week.
Wow.
So this is what I mean.
I
about
love
that,
this.
Right.
Yes.
These micro actions that we assume there's no way this is going to pay off, but the tortoise is the one who wins the race.
And I think hearing the strategy, I can totally see how this pays off. This isn't like, how does that, this is so tangible. And I love that it's cross promotional because mm-hmm. it's not just reaching out and pitching yourself to something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's you're offering this opportunity to share to your audience and to get in front of theirs. And so it really is a collaboration. And that's really powerful. So it's, I've never done it like you're saying before with that being a habit. But it's funny because a few of these opportunities have come to me in the past couple of months. And so I'm starting to do more of it. And I've definitely seen success from it. And I can see how making it a habit builds that consistency. Now, I have to ask the follow-up. Is there immediately in my head, I'm like, am I going to annoy my audience if I'm constantly sending them other people's freebies? How do you tackle that? Or is there a frequency that is better than others?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So I think it depends on how often you're communicating with your audience. If I email my list once a week, what I'm comfortable with is promoting someone else's high value lead magnet that my audience will truly benefit from. That's the trick. I'm comfortable doing that twice a month. So 2 out of every 8 emails is a sincere, honest recommendation for something I know is going to be helpful. So that's my mindset approach around it. I'm not just promoting random people's crap. Instead, what I'm doing is curating resources that I know my audience will benefit from. And here's this side effect that I think flies in the face of a fear a lot of people have around this, which is like, if I'm sending my list to all these other people, how are they going to want to buy from me? I think the opposite is true. The more I curate excellent experts and share them with my list, the more they trust me as also an expert. So my answer to you is it really just figure out what you're comfortable with, like what is the ratio? And if you want to promote more people's stuff, email your list more often.
Ooh, okay. So good. Thank you for breaking that down. You definitely have my wheels turning. This is such a great strategy.
Now, can I let everybody in on a little secret?
Yes, please do.
That strategy, Jacqueline, is why you and I are talking. I did it to you.
Ooh. You did do it to me, but not in this way. Because as right. I'm like, oh, we should totally freebie swap too. As you were talking. So you did. So, but do you want to share the strategy that you used? I'm totally fine with that. Like we can in a different capacity, right?
Yeah. So it's just a different version. Right?
It is.
So we do our research to find aligned podcasts that I think are high quality and aligned with my values. And then I just listen to an episode or two so that I can reach out to you. The first line I quoted you, right? Like you said this and here, and there's quotes. I think there's might be like flame emojis or something around it too, right? And then I talk about why I thought that was brilliant, right? And then I think we should be on each other's shows. My audience would love to learn from you because you're so XYZ. Here are a couple of topics I would love to talk about. Tell me what you think. So I want to just lean into something here for everybody. I try to take on the attitude of Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker was that boy in high school who, boy, I sure had a massive crush on him because he did not care about me at all. Right? You want to be like
aloof. Like Sean Tucker. And then I'm like, okay, wait, I don't need to know Sean Tucker. Yes, I totally know Sean Tucker now. Yes. Okay.
Right. We all know.
Got it. We all know Sean Tucker. Yes.
Right. So you have to take on like the Sean Tucker approach. So less information is often better. And this is not about proving that you're worth a lead magnet swap or proving that you're worth being a podcast guest. That smells of desperation. Just be cool about it. And this is why a habit is so helpful. If you're doing this habitually, you don't even really notice if someone doesn't get back to you or if someone says no because you've got more people on your list.
It's but so thank true. You for saying and, this. Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, it's been so great to connect with you. And I've had a few people who have done that with me. I'm usually really open to it, right? Mm-hmm. We get so many pitches for the podcast every single day. It's a little overwhelming. And how many times do those people have a podcast? They've never invited me to be on their podcast before, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times these pitches, sometimes they're professionally done and they're awful. Oh my gosh, the people that pay, there are people that do it well, but most of these agencies are horrible and they're just so impersonal and so just, and then even most people that send pitches, they're not good. And to stand out in a sea, right? It's really hard. And so you did that, which I definitely commend you for. And yes, I love that the strategy can be applied to multiple things, but mm-hmm. podcast swaps, freebie swaps, and just like, we're like, oh, maybe we take this up a notch and do a freebie swap too. It doesn't have to be either or, right? It's just getting in that door for collaboration. So yeah. Love it. Okay. So you did say there was two habits.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the other
habit? The second one is even more boring than the first, right?
Okay. And the first one was not boring. Can we just say that? The first one is amazing and not boring at all and so good. Oh, so it's okay to have boring habits, but I just want to, like, that was not, I believe me, I'm allergic to boring. I will tell you if it's boring. I will complain about it. I might still do it, but.
This is true. I can trust you about that.
But the other one is totally fine and not boring. Okay. So on to the second one that might be boring and that's okay too.
Success metrics. Tracking your progress on a weekly basis so that you know how to course correct before you've hit a problem. I can't tell you how many coaches I know who they don't even really know how much money they're making until they do their taxes at the end of the year. And so how are you? For me, it's all about confidence, right? So if I'm tracking my metrics, and we can talk about how to do this, if I'm tracking certain success metrics on a weekly basis, I know where I can solve problems, like I said, before they happen. And now I just feel confident and I own my business and I know what's going on, instead of like, oh, this feels pretty good. And I'm it doesn't feel good. So I'm afraid to look. And now we're not problem solving. And it's really hard to build up confidence when you don't relate to yourself as a resourceful person in your business.
Ooh, and tracking, I love how you put that.
Yeah, tracking your progress is the easiest way to feel resourceful. And if you feel resourceful, you get to be creative, you get to be proactive about what's happening in your business, and that's how you build your confidence.
Oh, this is so good. Okay. I want to ask you about some of the things we should track. But before I do that, I know you have a phrase that I was immediately drawn to, of data over drama. And I'm thinking this ties in together. What is data over drama? What does it mean? Where are you seeing people go wrong with this? I love how some of those of like, okay, it does come back to confidence and that building of the I'm resourceful. And I can immediately see of taking on that identity of how that opens things up. So how does this tie into data over drama? And then let's unpack it, because this is so good. And maybe it's a little bit boring, but you're putting a fun twist on it. And it is, it's so important. So let's make it fun, right?
Great. Okay. So I want to give a shout out to Courtney Foster Donahue. She is the brilliant person who coined these words. The alliteration is just to die for. So data over drama. Here's what I mean. We all as business owners need to make decisions from an informed place, from reality instead of our feelings about it. Now, I want to be clear. I love feelings. Okay. I have them every day. Of course, we're going to have emotion when it comes to our business, but we have to, when it's time to make a decision, really look at the information in front of us instead of how we feel about the information. I'll give you a very concrete example of this. So one of our six-figure coach club members, she has an evergreen webinar funnel, all right? And she had, there was a month where, and she's a yoga instructor, and there was a month when a yoga influencer recommended her program and like three people signed up. So this yoga instructor came to me and she's like, the evergreen funnel doesn't work. I had three sales last week and it was all from people. No, not the evergreen funnel, the webinar. Webinar doesn't work, right? I had three sales and none of them watched the webinar. They all came from referrals. So I have to throw my webinar away. That was totally emotion, right? So then I just asked her, right? Like, let's look at your numbers. And when we looked at her numbers, her webinar, this automated webinar with cold traffic, was converting at like 12%. So it wasn't that the webinar wasn't working. What wasn't working was she wasn't marketing the webinar. So no one was coming to watch it. Now, when we track data, I'm saying track, but it's just like checking in on your own, on how you define success. When we track that, we make smarter and easier decisions instead of throwing everything away every other month because we feel like it isn't working and starting from scratch all the time.
Oh my goodness. Preach it. This is so good. So with the tracking, tell us, what is this? I realize it's going to look different for different types of businesses. This is something I know you specifically work with coaches, but this is something that works across the board, whatever kind of business you have, whatever industry you're in. Mm-hmm. But what are some of these things that we should be tracking, or what does tracking even look like? Is this a Google sheet? Like, where are we doing this? Where does this live?
Great. So we want to set it up in a way that ensures we're going to use it. Okay. So I'll tell you what I use, but if you can build it into a routine or software or a system that you're already using, that's what I recommend, because nobody wants to track. I don't even want to do this, right? But it actually fires me up now because I see how it's affected my confidence. So we use a Google Sheet and we track numbers weekly. I'll tell you, I'll give you a formula to do this. So by Monday morning, we have our team meetings. We review all of our success metrics, right? What we've tracked, and then identify problems to solve. And we get to get really granular and creative about the problem. So I think a false assumption about data instead of drama is that it is no fun, right? But the data is the thing that opens the door to creative solutions. So those of us who are creative entrepreneurs, the more you know your numbers, the more creative you get to be.
So true.
Can I walk you through kind of the three questions to ask yourself to help all of your listeners identify what they should track? Great. Question number one, and you just, I know at the beginning of 2021, you had a series of great episodes around setting goals and mindset around goals. This will really be helpful to your listeners. What are my goals? What is it that we want to accomplish? Easy, right? The next piece is, what actions will we take to get there? And we're not tracking the actions. We're tracking the results the actions bring. So the third layer is the result or the metric. So I'll give you an example. We'll just build off of the lead magnet cross promotion.
Yeah, perfect.
About. So let's just say that my goal is to build my list to 10,000 new subscribers this year, right? The action I'm going to take is, one of them is going to be freebie swaps. The metric, the result, right, on a monthly basis, how many subscribers do I want to add to my list in order to get to 10K? So we do a little bit of math there. And I'm just, the math, like, no one actually try to make my numbers match. We're just flying here with an example. But let's just say I need 1,200 subscribers at the end of every month, which breaks down, right, to 300 a week, because we have to track our metrics weekly, not monthly. Otherwise, we're always behind.
So true.
Okay. So far, so good.
I'm right there with you.
Okay, great. So now at the team meeting, our goal is 300 subscribers for the week. We got 100 subscribers. Now we get to go and look at our process, the action of lead magnet swaps. Okay, what can we do to improve this process? All right, we need to get much more personalized in how we're writing our outreach letters. We also need to, we had that 1 month where we had 600 subscribers from one person. Let's find more influencers who serve that audience, because that's really aligned, right? And there's all these very specific small ideas that come forward to fix the problem when we know whether or not we're on track, instead of, now I have to try a whole new strategy. This is inspired by the book by Gino Wickman called Traction. Yes. And they talk about, right, having a company scorecard. So this is basically that idea. And boy, I'll tell you, the creativity that comes forward with my team when we're focused on solving problems instead of, like, did I put my hours in this week and take the actions? That doesn't matter if the actions aren't working. So we have to measure our results.
Oh, I love how practical you made this. So in this spreadsheet, are you putting how many outreach letters you sent, how many responses you got, how many emails sent? Like, are you tracking all of that stuff, or you're really just tracking the result, and then you're going to go dig
yes.
up that other data to yeah. to then inform how you're interpreting the result and, right. and any creative solutions to follow.
Right. So we have Asana tasks. And so in Asana is the weekly habit of freebie cross-promotion outreach. And as long as that is bringing us the metrics we want, like, I don't care about tracking every tiny little detail. It doesn't really matter. But if we're not meeting our metrics, then we get to go back and look at the SOP or the workflow, right, in order to tweak where we need to. So I don't think we need to get any more granular than, what is the goal? We want to know the actions we're taking to get there. And then what is the weekly metric we want to hit? Then we get to go in and just play around with making the actions more and more refined on a weekly basis.
So good. And that whole, like, not reinventing the wheel, but making it better and iterating and all of that, like, that is where the true growth really comes from.
Right. So back to drama over data.
Yes. Right? Yes, instead please.
We're never going to get to 10,000 subscribers. This is so hard. I hate it. Right. Let me go sign up for a course to show me how to go live. That'll be the solution. And we're just, like, jumping from one idea to the next, riding on adrenaline all the time. Just take a beat, look at the numbers, become a resourceful, creative problem solver. That's really what we do in our businesses. So embracing that as the way that you, let me say it this way, all of the energy you would put into finding a new fancy solution and that excitement, funnel all of that creativity to making the systems you already have in place more effective and more aligned with who you are.
Oh, so good. Okay. This is a hard question, but I'm going to ask you because, like, this is something I keep tackling, and I want your advice on this for everyone listening, because I see this problem so much. And I address this a little bit in the goals episodes, where people can be really bad at setting goals, right? So sometimes it's like, I want 10,000 subscribers in, like, a month or 2 months, right? Or, okay, my goal for this year is to add 1,000 subscribers.
Right.
And maybe for some people that's a lot, but right, where we're either not setting our goals high enough, or they're like so maybe ridiculous that it's okay, it's possible, but you know, maybe not in the, in this with this approach, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the check on, okay, we set these things, we make the habit, every week we're checking it and it's like wildly off, or we're just like crushing it every week? Like, how do we know if the goal's too small or if we're just like, this is not going to produce that result?
Yeah, I love this question. So I talk about your goals need to be 51% believable in the beginning, like just believable enough that you'll actually follow through on the actions. So that's the first check. And then on a weekly basis, again, because we're tracking weekly, we had one metric, we have a couple of metrics that have been very off in terms of the goal that we've set. So we bring people into the Six-Figure Coach Club through enrollment conversations, right? And our goal with enrollment conversations was a 35% conversion rate. We've been like killing it, 75%. It's actually a problem. It's too high. We probably need to raise the price or we're doing something wrong. So when we're tracking weekly, we see 75% conversion 3 weeks in a row. That tells me we've set the bar too low on our goal. Or like, wait, this many people shouldn't, we got to change something, right? The same is true when you're not meeting your metric. We have our free Facebook group and our goal has been to add 300 new members a week. We have not been coming close to that goal. I feel like that's doable. But boy, if we're not coming close to that goal, then you have to ask yourself the question, do we adjust the goal or adjust the actions? One of those two things has to change. Otherwise, why are you tracking metrics if you're not making adjustments with the data that comes in? Did I answer your question?
You did. You did. And I think there's, you know, it's a very broad question. Obviously, it's kind of like teaching people how to coach themselves through this, which is hard, right? We can't. Mm-hmm. I always go back to that Jada Seldner quote of, you know, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And so, you know, everyone, we're all inside that jar and trying to figure it out. But I do think it's these habits that are helping us build that self-awareness and that just awareness of what's going on in our business to be able to make these data-driven decisions and not just all on emotions or gut or, you know, and not that you want to, I'm all for like, I'm all about the intuition and whatnot, but when we can back it up with the data, I feel like that's when we're just moving in the right direction.
100%.
Yes. All right. So this has been amazing. Was there, I don't want to cut you off with it though. Was there anything else that we should know in taking this exercise and implementing it? I have like a whole page of notes. This is amazing. But I just wanted to make sure there was nothing else I missed there before I ask you how we can keep in touch.
Great. I want to just add one other thing.
Yeah.
With tracking your metrics, you should be able to answer the question, why are we tracking this? Otherwise, we're tracking all of these little actions and they're not really, it's data that's not necessary to know in order to reach your goals. So just run all of your chosen metrics through that litmus test to make sure you're only tracking the most essential metrics to make this process easy instead of spending 2 hours every week just filling in a spreadsheet, right?
Oh, such a good point. Okay. Amazing. Oh, thank you so, so much. This has been amazing. How can we keep in touch with you?
Great. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Dallas Travers. You can also find out more about me at dallastravers.com. That's the easiest way to connect.
All right, great. Well, thank you so, so much for giving us all the inside scoop on these strategies. And we'll definitely have to be in touch.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.